Our bulletin says this morning that we're going to work through Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I don't know that we're going to do that exactly, but we're going to be in that neighborhood. We're going to start today and go through till we finish Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If you look, this is, you don't have to see the words, but if you can see the color. These are words of Christ, known as the Sermon on the Mount. Starts off with something that's known as the Beatitudes. You've heard that term, I'm sure. And so we're going to work our way through them as long as it takes us to work through. We're going to pause for Advent, the first four Sundays in December. You heard it mentioned earlier. We are joining other churches around the country, around the world, in something called the Advent Conspiracy. And it's a theme each Sunday. The first Sunday in December is worship fully. The second is spend less. The third is give more. And the fourth is love all. And I always feel the need when I'm explaining this to talk about that third one just a little bit. When we talk about giving more, I'm not going to be up here asking you to give more money to the church. It talks about us giving more money out in the name of Christ. So that's what we'll be doing. And on either side of that, we'll be working through. And I tried to plot out some clever way to get this through at least the Beatitude sections before the end of November. And God told me to stop worrying about that. So I am. Amen. Fret not. There you go. Who told you? So I'm just going to read through the first 12 verses of Matthew 5, and we'll go back to the beginning and just talk a little bit about this message, this impact. And I worry sometimes about when we hear passages like these. I worry in different ways. There's plenty of worry to be had, and I grab as much of it as I can. Some that maybe these have become such lighthearted words that we just, you know, let them roll off our tongues. We just talk about, oh, we're being blessed, and God blesses us, and yeah, be blessed, you be blessed, and I'll be blessed, and all that. And we just kind of don't understand what Jesus was really saying. Or that we take this so sincerely to heart that we think we can't live like this. And the truth is between, to live this way is difficult, but it is attainable. This is how Jesus is teaching us to live. This is how he wants us to live, how he expects us to live. And it's an increasing spiral as we work our way upwards. But we can live this way. So if you're prone to taking these words too lightly, understand that these are the words spoken by the one who went to the cross to rescue us. This is his, and this might not be the best word, but this is the closest he came to a manifesto on Christian living. This is important stuff. That's why we're going to take our time with it. It's important. And if you worry you can't do it, there's an old hymn. I don't know if I can remember or not. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and will break with blessings on your head. That which we fear, if we fear this is too hard, is the mercy of God that will open upon us if we will pour ourselves into living this way. This was counter to the culture. That word counterculture, that phrase, may be distasteful to some of us depending on our age. But I look at the culture today and we ought to be counter. to the culture. And Jesus was going around teaching. We read in Matthew 4 that he was going around teaching. We read afterwards in Matthew 9 that Jesus was going around teaching. And at this point, he's going to take this moment. He's going to teach a new way to see the law, the way it was always intended to be seen. I don't want to make too much of this, but it's interesting, I think, at least, that Moses went up on the mountain and received the law, then came down to the people. And here, Jesus took some people up on the mountain with him. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Even if these words are familiar, I think you have to admit they sound odd. Blessed being poor in spirit, blessed mourning, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. Understand there's some significance in that. The position of a teaching rabbi was seated. When he sat down and those gathered around him, they were expecting to be taught. They would stand at the reading of Scripture and then sit down to teach. You might remember when Jesus stood up and read from the scroll in the temple to announce that that prophecy was being fulfilled in his presence. And then he sat down and began to explain that. So he sat down to teach those. And who was around him? This is a matter, just depends on what you read and who you believe. But at least those closest to him, those who were following him to learn from him, they came to him. Certainly, the 12 we know by name, but probably others as well. Some even think there were maybe even hundreds or thousands in a bigger circle a little further away that could have heard what he said. They came expecting to learn, and so he began to teach. And I think we need to pause and think about that just for a moment. We don't know everything that God wants us to know. Now, obviously, we don't know and cannot conceive the entirety of the mind of God, but that's not what I'm saying. We don't know everything God wants us to know, but he will teach us. So when we come in here, or when we're sitting at home and we open this book, we should be expecting to learn. We should be praying that God would send his Holy Spirit to teach us. And he will. It's amazing what God will teach us if we will be learners. It's amazing what God will show us if we ask. You know, ask and you'll seek, or ask and you'll hear, seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. If we go to God and ask, they came expecting to learn. And so Jesus taught them. And he began by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." We've all heard that phrase. We've all heard those verses many, many times. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Jesus was saying, blessed are those who understand the poverty of man's spirit. Blessed are those who understand, who recognize their own spiritual state. That apart from God, we're bankrupt. Apart from God, we have nothing. And it starts with that realization. Jesus starts there because that's where we need to start. That's where we understand the need that we have for God in our lives. Because without Him, we have nothing. But when we recognize that, then the potential opens for a great blessing. Because when you know what you need, and you go to the one who can provide, and he wants to bless. But we have to admit our own poverty, our own spiritual poverty. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All without Christ, we are nothing. And then when it says, blessed are those who mourn, often that is used when we talk about someone who has lost someone they love, and there's truth in that. But what Jesus is talking about here is mourning over our spiritual status. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Those who understand that spiritual bankruptcy, that spiritual nothingness, and are brokenhearted at our own spiritual state, and we come to Christ offering Him nothing but ourselves. We have nothing that we have. Nothing that we have is worthy to give Him for anything, to purchase anything, to receive anything from Him. We have nothing worthwhile, and it breaks our hearts. And in the middle of that brokenness, Jesus says, "You are blessed. Now you know. Now that you know, now that you see the reality of your state, we can begin. We can begin. We can't come to Jesus on our own merit." We know that, right? Scripture says that over and over and over again, and this is Jesus saying it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. When you understand who you are without Jesus, and you understand who Jesus is, look what's coming. The kingdom of heaven. And it's yours. It's yours. Not because you're so good that you could get it. Not because you have so much money that you can buy it. Not because you've earned so many points. One thing we've got to stop doing as believers is saying we hope we make it to heaven. If you say that, stop saying that. Don't say that anymore. If this is you, the kingdom of heaven is yours. We've got to show that to the world. We've got to express that confidently, with great humility, but confidently. Jesus has given us the kingdom of heaven. And we've got to stop beating ourselves up over who we were. Because he's given us comfort. That's hard. Harder for some than for others to accept the forgiveness that Jesus has given. But he is offering comfort. His comfort is unsurpassed. You've never done anything too bad not to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. You've never done anything too bad for grace. This is what Jesus is giving us. Comfort and the kingdom. And how we live our lives just on those two things alone. We'll get to the others, but just on those two things alone, how we live our lives affect those around us. There's no pride. Personal pride in knowing I'm going to heaven because I didn't do anything worthy to get there, but I'm going. I hope you're going too. I'm going. That's where I'm going. And we got to live that out. People have to know that we know what we know. And people got to know that they can receive the same kind of comfort if they receive the same kind of forgiveness. We've got to live our lives as people who have been comforted. That's one of the names of the Holy Spirit, is the Comforter. Right? You may be feeling bad, and I might come over to your house, and I might put my arm around you, you might cry on my shoulder, and maybe you'll feel a little better, maybe not. I don't know. I'll try. But the Holy Spirit of God, who hovered over the waters at creation, the Holy Spirit of God that freed Christ from the tomb, he can do it. Will you take it? Will you take it? That which God is giving. Will it change who you are? Will you be blessed? You know, the word beatitude means supreme blessing. Are you supremely blessed this morning? If you've accepted Christ, you are supremely blessed. I don't care what car you drive or what kind of house you live in, that's temporary. Jesus was supremely blessed and he went to the cross. Paul was supremely blessed. He was executed. Stephen was supremely blessed. He was stoned to death. It's not about this. It's about that. But the blessing is here and now. Because the victory in the future is assured. So take a moment and recognize that without Jesus, you're nothing. But with Jesus, you're everything. Without Jesus, you've got nothing. With Jesus, you've got the kingdom. Without Jesus, you're dead in your sin. Without Jesus, that sin is eating away and rotting you from the inside out, bringing anxiety and terror and eternal punishment. But with Jesus, it's all that's gone. Completely and utterly gone. Not a trace left. Jesus says it's okay now. You let it go. Live a blessed life and be a magnet for the kingdom. When you live a blessed life, people want to know. People want to know what you got that they don't got. And you've got it. If you'll take it. You've got it if you'll take it. Blessed are you. Not because I said so, but Jesus said so. See, it's in red. Jesus says you're blessed. Jesus says change the world. Jesus says further on, don't do like they're doing. Do it like this. Do it like this and watch what happens. You see, back in Leviticus, when God sent through Moses and told them, don't live like they did back in Egypt where you were, and don't live like they were in Canaan where you're going. Live like this. And his purpose was that many would be drawn to him through them. But instead, they wished they were back in Egypt and they acted like the people in Canaan. And you know what? Nobody wanted to come to God. Because of them. Don't do like they do in Dover. Don't do like they do in Camden. Do it like this. Do it like this. Watch people come. Watch people want what you have. Tell them how they can get it. Amen.